Well, hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the Music and Ministry Podcast. My name is Stephen Reed and I'm your host today. One of the questions that we are often asked from both worship leaders and pastors is how much should the worship leader talk when they are leading? Because it is really awkward when people don't talk at all, and it's also really awkward when people talk too much. So really, as we get started here, you need to know why you should talk, and then more importantly, you need to know how to do it well, because that is the main reason why people are not allowed to talk. It's because there doesn't seem to be a point to what it is that they're saying, or the point is lost somewhere in the presentation. So why do we talk? Sometimes it is the best way to accomplish a need, but sometimes it really just shows that there's things left undone in other areas. So talking isn't always the best answer, but then again, sometimes it is. You know, most worship leaders are asked to welcome the people. Now that could be done by another person or by a video or something, but it is a need for people to feel welcomed. A lesser known reason why you should talk is just to simply win people over, because people will be less likely to follow you if they don't even know who you are or if they don't like you. So we try and do this before service begins by greeting as many people as we can as they arrive. And then when we start the service, we just give a couple of sentences for that purpose. And then another reason is to be encouraging, because the right words at the right time can really help people participate and affirm what's going on in the service. But maybe the biggest reason that you should talk, really at all, is to lead. And that's because at a core level, people want to know what's going on. And when you don't say anything, it leaves people hesitant to participate or just really feeling lost. And then conversely, when you share a little mini sermon before each song, you can lose them. So really, that's the reason why you or anyone should talk during the worship service, is to help people know what's going on, and then as a big part of that, what they're supposed to be doing. So I would encourage you to give a lot of time and thought as to what people need from you in order to participate. You have to gain their perspective. What would a non-musician need? What would a visitor need versus someone who comes every week? And then what about all the various levels of Bible knowledge people have? Now these answers matter, and you can get up and quote a scripture, but will people even know that it's a scripture? Or will they even understand how to apply that scripture? Or will people not really be even listening because they're trying to figure out who you are and why you're up there? So no matter how you do it, what you really want to be good at is giving short and simple answers to the questions that people are already asking in their heads, because it puts them at ease and helps them focus and participate. You know, something as simple as, "Welcome to church. My name is Steve and I'm your worship leader today. Hey, we're gonna start off today with a new song, so jump in the best you can and we'll help you pick it up quick." But it goes like this, and then I would start singing immediately. So in those two sentences, I have welcomed them, I have told them who I am, told them what we're gonna be doing, and then what they're supposed to be doing, all in 10 seconds. So again, you don't have to talk, but unless you meet those needs for communications in other ways, you really need to talk at least a little. But again, the reason why most worship leaders are forbidden to talk is that we're not really good at it. So I wanna encourage you that rather than just shutting it down, we need to work together to get better at it, because it is something that's needed. Now, some of you might be a little offended when I say that we're not good at it, and that's partly because pastors and worship leaders have a different definition of what good means. And why these two groups often butt heads on this issue is because we're coming at it from the different giftings that are on the inside of us. Most pastors are leaders of their church, and because the leadership gifting in them, they see everything through that filter. They can't help it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you do the same thing. I do the same thing. You can't help but see the world through your gender, your race, your culture, your education, where you were raised, even what part of the country you were from or live in now. It just comes naturally to you like a default. But it also affects you and it affects everyone else that's around you. So if you want to gain the perspective of someone else, you have to want to, and then you're going to have to work at it in order to see the world through their eyes. So as I said, most pastors are leaders, and leaders by nature see the world through leadership. How does what you're doing move people along? Now, most worship leaders and musicians, by contrast, we're creatives, and we see the world very differently. And the primary goal for most creatives is to express themselves. Now, if you think about it, that's an important difference. And really, the difference between those two primary objectives is much of where the root of the problem lies. Pastors want you to lead. Creatives want to express themselves. Now, to be fair, we as creatives think, and really our belief is that if we express ourselves fully, that in turn, it will lead people to participate. But because the primary instinct of creatives is not necessarily flow of leadership, but rather expression, it ends up causing us to make some choices that leaders don't really appreciate or understand. So as a result, what ends up happening is we become better at expressing ourselves in totality rather than leading. So let me give you an example. So say you were going to intro a song about running for the Lord, and you can pick any of the ones that have to do with running for God. But it might go something like this. You know, the other day I was getting ready for the day, and I was just going through, you know, what I always do, trying to figure out what I was going to wear. And so I began to search for the perfect outfit, which I never seem to have, no matter how many things I have in my closet. And as I was rummaging through my stuff, I came across my old pair of running shoes. And it made me think about how much I used to love running. I used to run, like, a lot, but sadly now I don't at all. Too busy, I guess, or too tired from work. Well, I have a lot of reasons, but it got me thinking about if I'm doing the same thing with God. Am I walking after God or running after Him? Or has the busyness of life pushed my spiritual running shoes to the back of my closet? Well, this morning we're going to sing a song about running for God, and I would encourage you to take a look at your spiritual feet today and see what kind of shoes you have on. Do you have running shoes on? Loafers? Work boots? Maybe your slippers? Well, okay, here we go. Now, okay, I may have lost a few of you there because that was long. And while I achieved the outcome of expressing myself with the hopes and intentions that it would lead you to action, what I lost was time and probably some effectiveness. So time in the sense of how much of the service time it's going to take, but also people are only going to pay attention for so long. And the longer I talk about the details I feel are necessary to fully express my story, the less effective I become in leadership, simply because I have lost the people. So at the end of a worship service like the one I just described, creatives are going to feel good about the fact that they were able to fully communicate their revelation. And there'll be a few people that will probably come up and say, man, they really appreciated that story and how that helped them in their worship. But all of the leaders are going to be frustrated about how it broke the flow or the energy of the meeting. So I do want to take a moment just to point out that there really was nothing wrong with the premise of the story I shared. It's not a bad illustration. But there are a lot of ways in which I could have shared it better to maximize the time and effectiveness. I also have to be willing to ask, does sharing this story really help people participate better? Because it may not. It might have only been for me. And that really takes some gut level honesty from yourself and from your leaders to know the difference. So that's why I'm going to share with you some stuff today that will help you get better at knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And then it's going to be up to you to take it and practice it and study so you can improve, which is not something that we always are willing to do as worship leaders, because we'll practice the songs and we'll practice our instruments. But then when it comes to talking, we just kind of wing it. And pastors, by contrast, work on their speaking as like their primary concern, which is why they're often critical of what worship leaders have to say. Again, that's a gifting issue, but the good news is we can be better. So some of this will come down to your style, but here are some guiding principles that will help you no matter how you choose to do it. And the first is trim the fat. And like I said before, you have to ask yourself, what do people need to know? What do they want to know? And really, what's the point of why you are talking? And then cut everything else out. So let's go back to our example that I gave you. I said, you know, the other day I was getting ready for the day and I was just doing what I always do. Is that important information? Now, I feel the need to communicate my surroundings to better paint the picture for you, but in reality, this isn't that helpful. So out it goes. The next statement was trying to figure out what to wear, and so I began to search for the perfect outfit, which I never really seem to have no matter how many things I have in my closet. Now, let me ask you, is my commentary on my closet or the mental picture that I'm painting of myself without clothing on looking for an outfit important for your worship understanding? Well, I would say no. It might get a laugh from some people. It may get some judgment from others. But when time matters, this stuff could easily go. And as you may notice, thus far, everything I've said has been cut out. And in fact, most everything that I said could be cut out because it really doesn't move the story along to the point. You want to get to your point quickly. So I'm going to post this transcript from this song intro on our website so you can take a look and see how many needless details can be trimmed off. But I'm telling you, there's a lot. And some of that I did on purpose, but it's not too far off of what most people do. You know, I could have just said, I recently found my old and neglected running shoes. So what I said in four sentences is now replaced by one. So trim off all of the needless details so that what you say matters more. And when what you say matters, people will want you to speak more, not less. All right, the next way to trim up what you're saying comes from what I call circle talking. When you say something, then say it again in another way, then you start repeating yourself, then you become redundant and over again, like a broken record. You keep coming back to the same thing, really like clockwork, again and again, and repetition until you've beat a dead horse. Okay, I'll stop, because I was just doing it right there, and you probably do the same thing as well. Now, hopefully not as dramatically as I just did it, but once you start to notice how much people circle talk, it will probably drive you crazy. The next time and energy killers are gaps in timing. Tell me what I need to do, and then immediately do it. A lot of people make the mistake of sharing something and then starting the song. Now, hopefully by what you just shared, you got them excited to participate. And now what do they have to do? They have to wait until you get finished playing some music. Now, it makes sense to you because you're a musician and that's how the song goes. But to everyone else, it's weird and it breaks the flow. My pastor used to tell us time and time again, you need to work on your transitions, which we did. We went from one song right to the next one as fast as we possibly could. But what I later came to realize is that he meant you need to work on transitioning the people, because what you're doing is losing the people. And that makes sense once you think about, because while we were playing the outro as accurately as we possibly could, what were the people doing? They were waiting for us to finish. Then we would quickly as we could transition to the next song and play the intro of that song. What were the people doing? They were waiting for us to finish playing our music. So lead and then immediately participate. Talk during the intro, and if you need to, make the intro longer. But when you're finished speaking, people should know what to do and be fully motivated to do it right then. Another important aspect about timing gaps to keep in mind is that if what you share doesn't apply till the chorus, you might actually be wasting your time. Because often verses of songs have little or nothing to do with the chorus or won't be obvious unless you are a seasoned worshiper. So if there's a gap in content, then share what you have to say, then start at the part that makes sense and reorder the song accordingly. If what you're sharing is about the chorus, start on the chorus. If what you're sharing is on the bridge, start with the bridge. But whatever you do, try not to have gaps because most people can't manage the distance. All right, so the last tip I'm going to give you today is that we have found it effective to break up what you have to say into smaller chunks. So instead of sharing a paragraph at the beginning, just share a sentence and then share another later in the song when it makes the most sense. So when you put everything you want to say through these filters I just shared with you, you're going to find a lot of stuff gets cut out, but that's a good thing because you're going to find great ways to fully express yourself effectively, to do more with less. Well, as always, if there's anything we can do for you, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at musicandministryconference@gmail.com or visit our website at musicandministry.co. Well, until next time, have a fantastic week and God bless.